Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It is time now for Why It Matters. Everyone was expecting new property cooling measures to be implemented sometime in the future. We're always talking about this when we meet up with friends, right? You know, and you look at how heated the Singapore property market has been. But nobody was prepared for the big news that dropped close to midnight on the 15th of December last year. Well, it's been a couple of months, and we're going to take a look at some of the effects. Now, what was more surprising is the new property cooling measures took effect almost immediately on the 16th of December, less than an hour after the government's late-night announcement. The measures include increased stamp duty, tightened total debt servicing ratio rules, and tightened loan-to-value limit. So, it's been months. How have Singaporeans received this piece of news? Well, Property Guru recently released its biannual consumer sentiment study with a supplementary study to see Singaporeans' response to the new property cooling measures. And it has been revealed that 52% of Singaporeans welcome the latest property cooling measures. On the other hand, Singaporeans who disagreed felt that the new measures would make it harder for them to afford the property that they intended to buy. Let's talk a little bit about the findings of this study with Paul Wee, Vice President, FinTech Property Guru, Singapore. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for having me on the show.
This is quite interesting, and I'm glad you guys did this survey, this consumer sentiment study. Tell us a little bit more about it. I know I made some highlights, but why do you feel the need for there to be this supplementary study? What kind of time frame did you guys have when putting this together?
Well, actually, the original study was conducted from the 15th of November to 26th of December.
Okay.
And we had 860 respondents. But because these cooling measures happened towards the end of the first study, we decided it was more appropriate to conduct a supplementary study, which was done between the 10th and 14th of January with 500 respondents. So, you know, we wanted to correlate and just to check the results to validate that indeed we had something there. So maybe I'll just run you through the original study. The original study showed more than 50% who were very, very much in favor. In fact, our index moved from 48 in second half of 2021 to 51, 3 percentage points in first half of 2022. So people were very, very happy then, right? So interest rates and so on and so forth. Mm. Now, in our supplementary studies, you mentioned that 52% of the Singaporeans welcomed the latest measures. And in fact, we were quite interested in the results. And a lot of these came from the age range of 22 to 29. 61% very strongly agreed that the government did the right thing. I think the top reason is that the cooling measures help people to be able to afford their property. It would slow down the increase in property prices. Okay. Now, it is clear that this significant portion of Singaporeans are really concerned about this steadily rising property prices, and they were worried about being priced out of the market.
Right.
There was also a very significant number of people, 48%, who were very concerned that the cooling measures will affect the investment potential of their property. So it's on the other side of the equation, right? And or those who are looking to sell their properties. So it depends on which side you're sitting on. The buyers are happy, sellers or potential sellers are not so happy with that.
Mm. I'm curious about that. So you mentioned 52% quite in favor, and the age group that you mentioned is quite interesting, right? Because that's the age group that people are settling down, going into their 30s, getting ready to sort of excel in their career as well. So the 48% that are not very happy, what age group do they fall under?
I don't exactly have the data on hand, but I believe them to be slightly older age group.
Mm. Potentially the ones that are looking to, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm just guessing, are we talking about the ones that are looking to perhaps upgrade their property or even get a second property?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
Are we looking at an age group or the profile of this group to be those that are looking to upgrade their property or get a second property?
So in our study, we actually segment the groups, this is the overall study that we overall result that we got out of it. But certainly, those people who are looking to sell investment holdings, more like investment holdings rather than primary residential. So I think it's a mixed bag of data that we have.
Okay, I mean, fair enough. And at the end of the day, it's about whether you benefit or not. If you don't benefit, of course, you're not happy, right?
Paul, sure.
I want to get into a little bit more detail about those Singaporeans that are in favor of this. You mentioned because it's going to help them, it's going to help ensure that they're not priced out of the market. I know it's only been a few months, but what kind of effects are we seeing with regard to the property market where these cooling measures are concerned?
I think the cooling measures showed that despite the cooling measures, demand continues to go up. So if you look at the HDB properties, that's continued to go up. People, you know, that actually made worse by the fact that completions are slower, they have to wait longer, and the need to form a family still goes on, right? So people are switching the purchases from, you know, the BTOs, the build-to-order properties, to readily completed. And that's why you see that kind of shift moving from one to the other. So, I mean, the demand is still very, very strong in those areas.
I know both sides, actually, those that are not to say impatient, but they need to get things going and they jump into the resale market. And then for those trying to get BTO, it's even longer than it used to be. Gosh. Can we talk a little bit, Paul, about the property tax hike in Budget 2022? This, of course, announced in February. What are your thoughts on it? I know it's been a while now, but what are your thoughts on it? Was it a surprise?
Well, I think the government has been trying to figure this out for quite a while, and certainly it makes a lot of sense for them to attack from the angle of property tax. And so, no, not really a surprise.
Okay.
But the quantum is quite big. But the thing is, they needed to do what they needed to do. If you analyze the property tax increases, actually it whacks more the investment property, the second property purchases, and so on and so forth, rather than the owner-occupied residential property. So, yeah, I see that is where the area is. We're going to see some switching where people, instead of buying second residential properties, switch into commercial-type properties.
Yes.
So, you know, because if you buy a secondary property, you're going to pay a lot more ABSD, additional buyer stamp duty, whereas if you're buying a commercial property, you're paying GST perhaps. And so the structures are different, and certainly the rental increase taxes also, you know, all these people are now redoing their sums and saying maybe commercial makes more sense. In our side, we're seeing switching happening as well.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, right? Because we still hold that value, especially being Asian, right? It's the best investment you can have is property. But property fun times are over, so you find a way around it and you go to commercial. Although I am curious to get your thoughts on financing. I mean, we've got the US Federal Reserve raising interest rates. Our interest rates are closely tied to the US. What are your thoughts on how this would impact mortgage rates here in Singapore?
Certainly, the question is not if, but when. I think a lot of people are speculating how much interest will go up by. And I think that's really important to figure out. But I think it's also important to figure out how do we manage this increased need for cash flows to support the loans. I think people at this point in time should be looking at what are the strategies I can have, you know, to negate the increases in monthly installments. How do I manage? What are the strategies? And other than interest rates, there are many other strategies. For example, right now, when interest rates are not really moving up as much, first, what you can do is instead of setting aside your $1,500, $2,000 a month, begin setting aside $3,000, for example. And automatically, you'll be creating buffer for any future increases. You can really kick the can down the road in terms of financial commitments if you do these strategies. I think people have to take a step back and say, what do I do? You know, how do I manage interest rate increases? But certainly it is coming. You know, it will come up during the year.
Yeah, I mean, and fair point when you describe that, right? I can only see an age group with lesser commitments being able, or a group of people with lesser commitments being able to use those tactics. Those with families and all that are looking to upgrade, going to be a little bit more troublesome. So the cost of borrowing is up. But in relation to all of that and how we are able to find a way, where do you see, you know, as far as appetite and demand for property goes? I mean, you were talking about earlier on this shift, right, from a second residential property to first commercial property as your asset.
Yeah. So in terms of, I think we have to break it down, right?
Sure.
For the first-time home buyers, they are now working out the sums to say, what do I need to do? You know that the loan-to-value or the amount of money they can borrow against the property is now lower by 5 percentage points, right? Mm-hmm. So now they're saying, perhaps my budget needs to be moved, or perhaps I can squeeze money out of elsewhere to try and buy this. So that's one group, because like we talked about earlier, it is very important to continue to set up your family and, you know, start the ball rolling, if you may. For the guys who are looking to invest or buy new properties, some of them is, it's not just financial, it could be aspirational. So, for example, if somebody says, I want to be moving from a HDB into a private property,
yes,
it's still aspirational, it's there. Maybe the timelines will shift or they rework the numbers in terms of budget. There's another group of people who don't want to use very much of the CPF, right? Because it is a yielding asset in 2.5% versus the lower interest rates. But with the numbers shifting now, they may say, perhaps the strategy will be use more of my CPF and so on and so forth. So, you know, many buttons to push, levers to shift. They can also end up downsizing the purchase. Maybe instead of going straight from a private a HDB to a private expensive private, they may say, let's do a mid-level switch.
Right.
We buy something cheaper and then build accumulate value and savings and then take the next step. I think at the end of the day, aspirational goals are meant to be achieved, although maybe not in the shorter term, in the longer term. You know, these changes demand it, I guess.
Yeah. You got to reassess the milestones that you set yourself as well, right?
Yeah.
And on that note, Paul, just to get into our final stage here, retirement. Anything in your study that talks about how a typical Singaporean thinks about retirement? I mean, prefer staying in your current place, downgrading, staying closer to children? What's in it?
I think what's really interesting is about 48% of our Singaporeans prefer retiring in their current house, while 37% want to remain close to or live with their children. I think that was a very interesting result. I think when you talk about retirement, we talk about retirement planning, right?
Yeah.
So in a lot of circumstances, people tend to buy their properties, take a loan, and then forget about it. I think, why? Because it's easy. People have busy lives and so on and so forth. So I think it's really important that they continue to keep track and understand maybe there's potential savings out of their home loans, you know. Any additional cash would go towards their retirement fund. And people don't do that because, like I said, they are very busy. The other thing is that this process is very, very painful. People have to call up the banks, check with the banks whether the new interest rates make it worthwhile for them to do that. So they struggle. That's why it's very important to be able to make it easier for them. And in property group, for example, we have this thing known as a smart refi that automatically tracks all these things for retirees, for people who are looking to save money, and it's an automatic process. So you don't have to do anything. If you are ready to refinance, we trigger and tell you that you may want to explore this and things like that. So it makes it so much easier. Easy to save money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen that at work, because the last thing you want is you hit close to that retirement age and you still got this huge amount of debt to pay for your house. I mean, you don't want to be worrying about that. Thanks so much. Very useful tips for us. Paul Wee, Vice President FinTech at Property Guru Singapore. Paul, I appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much, Elliot.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.